By this time of year is 61. Here are the numbers right now. Wind from the northwest at 8. Sunshine, a blue sky, a bit nippy. 39 degrees Kenosha, 38 in Racine, 29 for Burlington, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
And we welcome you to the Wednesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. We have a full house today, and not just crowded with people, but with talent in our on-air studio today. First of all, I'm happy to be sitting opposite Jim Schatzman, longtime director and founder of the Racine Choral Arts Society. And with him, a whole bevy of very, very talented musicians who are all going to be part of what promises to be a very exciting and fun concert this Saturday evening to, I believe, kick off the 38th season of the Choral Arts Society. This concert is called Simply Folk, and we will be talking today about all of the amazing and iconic songs that are going to be part of Saturday night's concert. And the collaborators with the Choral Arts Society are an impressive group themselves. First of all, Mark Paffrath, Maritha Paffrath, Zachary Scott Johnson, and the associate conductor of the group, Pat Badger. And I'm so glad that all of them have found a way to get up out of bed bright and early on this Wednesday morning after a long night of rehearsal to join us to talk about Saturday evening's concert and about the music that is such an important part of all of their lives. So Jim Schatzman, Mark Paffrath, Maritha Paffrath, Zachary Scott Johnson, Pat Badger, we welcome all of you to the morning show.
Good morning, Greg.
Good to have all of you here. And you are going to be hearing some samples from all of them through the course of the hour. Jim, let's begin with just the idea of launching, first of all, the 38th season of the Choral Arts Society. It's just kind of staggering to think about that long legacy and that history. What goes into your thinking in terms of putting seasons together, and in particular in this case, how to launch this 38th season?
Well, I think one of the things that we think about as an identity really is presenting something you can't hear anywhere else. We feature local musicians, local composers, and bring them together to really present, I mean, very, very unique concerts. We're in a rich music area. I mean, you can go to Chicago without too much effort. You can go to Milwaukee with even less effort and hear, you know, world-class ensembles. So we're not going to try to compete with that. That's not our niche. Our niche is really bringing something very unique and very imaginative to our audiences. And so trying to get those creative juices going and say, what might hit a nerve? What's really interesting out there? And this program is really one of those. Mark and Zach and Pat have been a part of our programming for years, featuring their musical talents. Bringing Maritha in from Boston was a thrill beyond measure. That was a shock. We were kind of talking and seeing how this came about. And that's really one of the interesting things. So this is a bit of a homecoming musically for Maritha. And I've known of her for a long time. This is my first chance to actually meet her, wow. Other than a pass by. You know, this is just, it's a thrill. And really, I suppose whatever excites me, I hope it will excite our audience, you know, as the programming group of which Pat is a part. We bounce ideas back and forth, and really I've been energized to have Pat involved in the process. Her experiences are so different from mine, and they come together, and it's like sparks fly sometimes when we're talking about possibilities. It's really fun.
Wow. Pat, just talk for a moment about that, Pat Badger, about the sparks that Jim is talking about, and what your role has been thus far as associate conductor.
As associate conductor, I'm a stand-in in case Jim needs some help, but I also work with logistics and programming, as he mentioned. And something new this year is a project called the Guest Young Artists, and this is a chance for high school students to play with choral arts. You know, when you're a high school student, you play in your band, you sing in your choir, you play in your orchestra, but you don't necessarily know what goes on in the community in terms of community, lifelong learning groups that make music, and choral arts is that lifelong learning group. So we're inviting high school students to perform descants or perform auxiliary parts with our choral arrangements, so they get that experience.
Wonderful idea. Absolutely love it. Jim, talk for a moment about the shaping of this concert in terms of the specifics. I mean, once you sort of figured out you wanted to do something that would have something to do with what we think of as folk music, and that you wanted to draw in some local luminaries to be part of it, talk a bit about the specifics of how this program took shape.
Well, folk music has always been really, I've been passionate about it. Most of us are of an age where we grew up with many of these iconic songs, and it's funny when you think you try and call them off the top of your head, it's not always very easy, but you start to see the list that we put together, and it's like, wow, those songs, you know, and as I was mentioning before we went on air, we get together as a group and say, just, okay, what do you like? And you get a list of about 60 songs. And you go, okay, well, we can't do a program of 60 songs. So what do we do next? And I remember saying to Mark, what would you not be able to, if you did a concert like this, what would you just have to do? What would you burn to do? And that begins to bring the list down. When we did the Beatles, it was very similar. I mean, their catalog is massive.
Sure.
And so you got to kind of whittle it down to, and it's really a winnowing process, but also it's just the best of the best end up coming out. It's really pretty amazing to sit with these talented musicians and begin to say, you know, what do you really want? And Zach actually planted the idea a couple of years ago. We were performing together with he and Mark, and he said, I put this idea out. We're thinking about doing a folk. He said, you should do a 70s retrospective. You know, it's, I don't know if you remember saying that. But it stuck with me, and I thought, oh, yeah, that's just great. You know, you watch great performances or these other things at PBS, and this is what people want to hear. And so, and these are songs, I don't care how old you are, you've heard these songs. They're part of our culture.
Sure. If I Had a Hammer and Sound of Silence and on and on and on, the list goes. Yeah. So, Zach, you don't remember planting the seed for this, huh?
I plant a lot of seeds.
Well, this is one of the best.
Thank you.
Very good. So I'm anxious for our audience to hear from each of our guest musicians for sure, and to hear a little bit about your respective musical stories. And I think we'll begin with the brother-sister duo of Mark and Maritha Paffrath. And I'm thinking about your dear mother, Adrienne, and how happily she is looking down on this. I suspect that the Paffrath home was just brimming with music as you grew up. I mean, I'm assuming that anyway. Tell us more about how music just figured in the daily life of your family and for each other.
Well, brimming is, I feel like brimming is a good word, and it was just part of the household. The way the living room was set up, the piano was there, and sometimes to my mom's dismay, it was also brimming with a lot of instruments sort of exploding out of their cases. But it was, I think it was our sister Elise who said, "You know, Mom, if I could leave my flute out, I would play it a lot more. If I could just leave it set up on top of the piano." And in fact, she was right. And my mom said, "You're right." So she could just scoop by, pick it up, and play. Because it was really, you had to go by the piano to get everywhere else.
Wow.
And so it made the piano, what I remember most is I played French horn all the way through high school. And while dinner was cooking, sometimes my mom and I would sit down and, kind of whip through a little concerto movement or something. And
wow.
So we had an accompanist. And I will say that our dad was also a very big influence in that he was a boy soprano at St. Thomas, in the St. Thomas Boys Choir in New York City. So
wow.
he brought that love of music to us as well.
He was a great singer.
He was a blast to go to church with.
Yeah. Wow, very good. Mark, what are your recollections of the early years in the Paffrath home?
Well, I just think about a lot of the things that Maritha said, but in terms of thinking about this concert and this genre of music, I think about, as Jim said, we grew up in an age, and my mom was influenced by, the big folk boom, in the 60s, which a lot of these songs are from. And I just remember her somehow, it seemed like it was in New York City. I don't know quite how that worked out, but she got herself a nylon string guitar, and I'm not sure she really knew how to play when she got it, but she was determined, and she got that guitar, and one of us kids has it still, and she just was really into the whole folk boom, concept, and she taught herself to play, and she learned a bunch of songs, and I mean, there's songs that I still play for audiences that I grew up singing with her, and so that's another kind of music that was all around the house.
Mark and I were actually both with her when I remember this. I mean, I was three, and we went down some stairs into a guitar place, and then when we came out, I remember she had a guitar. And actually, a friend of mine who's a folk singer said, "I know exactly what place that is." It was saying the stairs went down, and he knew. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, I love that. That's just great. Maritha, Jim Schatzman made passing reference to the fact that you are coming to us all the way from Boston. So you're the big exotic visitor from afar who's going to be part of this, but of course with such deep roots to southeastern Wisconsin. And of course, for many, many, many years, you have been part of this extraordinary group called Libana. I've had the pleasure to see you perform several times and vividly remember each and every experience. For any of our listeners who are not acquainted with the impressive legacy of that group, explain kind of the mission and purpose of Libana, and then we'll hear a little something from them.
Libana was first formed in 1979, in the fall of 1979, and just began as a group of women getting together. I think originally we said music by, for, and about women. And people will remember that was there was a real feminist wave then, and it was Cambridge, Massachusetts, the heartbeat of a lot of activism. And I don't think the group, I joined in the second year, but I think the group just wanted to be a group of supportive women who loved to sing and could convey various sentiments in that way, be they political or spiritual, although the group has never, ever been didactically political. And we look back now and say we could have had no idea that 45 years later we would still be together, we'd be touring, we would have done as much traveling. So we began as it's folk music in a whole other way. It's I often call it world folk, because what we focused on is what were women doing. Because I mean, it's interesting even that I'm here, and part of it's because we're doing so much music by Peter, Paul, and Mary. But a lot of the folk tradition here has been men, and it got us wondering globally, what were women doing? Because women often weren't allowed to tour or to even sing in public. I mean, way, way, way back, centuries, millennia. So we've spent all these decades finding that music, sometimes going directly to the places, to the mountains, to the villages, and finding that indigenous and inherent folk music from, you know, Bulgaria to Hawaii to all the different places of the world, with the main thread being what were women singing, and what were they, how were they moving their culture and community and society forward with these songs? Because that is what was happening, and to me that's what is happening with this kind of folk music that we'll be doing this weekend, is it moves a thought and an intention forward. And I think that's why it becomes classic, and it's still alive to so many people.
And has so much to say.
Right. And Labana, based on what you're going to, we also have inadvertently found a niche in the kind of women's spirituality community in doing songs that are about ritual and spirit. And that was for many years aside, like two different tracks, and now we realize they're really all the same. You know, there's spirit and community in all the music that we do.
Love it. So this is from probably four decades ago or so, but a classic, lovely song called A Circle Is Cast. And so this will be Libana.
Speed.
That was the group Libana, and actually a song called Under the Full Moonlight. And Maritha Paffrath has been a member of Libana for many years. And Maritha, I want to give you just a quick moment to talk about an exciting new development with Libana, very much still active, still concertizing, but something that's going to happen with this massive archive that the group has assembled over the course of more than four decades of activity. Tell us how that legacy, that archive, is going to ultimately be shared and available to the world.
Well, I feel like it's great that we formulated in a non-digital age, because it means we have a lot of paper. And we were really meticulous. We have notes from 1980 onward, of meetings, of everything. And I can't even remember how it happened, but I think we began to think, what are we doing with all of this? We've got photos, and we just got a lot. We've got a lot of cassettes, as I mentioned earlier, and CDs. So basically, we are in the process of almost finishing wrapping up that archival process, and those will go to Radcliffe Institute, it's now called. Radcliffe and Harvard have been connected. In fact, Mark and my mom, Adrienne, went to Radcliffe. Mm. So she would be really thrilled about this. So all of that archival material will go to Radcliffe, to the Women's History Archives. And then we are collaborating with Harvard, with the Schlesinger Library there, and they will take all of our audio, which is extensive, and be able to digitize it and also be available for, you know, time immemorial for anyone who wants to know, were there any women's groups in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, or there's probably music in there that isn't anywhere else or would be hard to find. So it's a treasure trove of everything.
I was just going to say the word treasure trove seems absolutely perfect. Maritha, I want to give you an opportunity to talk about one of the songs that's on Saturday night's concert that you are especially excited to have in the mix.
All of them?
No, one. One. Look at my finger. One. And maybe a little later you can talk about others, too. We can also let you think about it if you need to.
I think I'm going to just say the Peter, Paul, and Mary aspect, I guess, and it's really hard to pick one, and I don't usually say that. But to me, just having Peter, Paul, and Mary, because that, you know, when people say that a musical genre was the backdrop of their lives, for my teenage years, Peter, Paul, and Mary was it, and just the way their harmonies are. I really can't pick a favorite. I'll get back to you on that.
Okay, that sounds good. All right, let's shift over to your brother, Mark Paffrath. I forget who's the elder. Okay, Maritha. All right, so Mark trailing behind. So, Mark, tell us what all of this music means to you.
Well, it's great just to go back and revisit a lot of this material. I mean, some of these things I still do. I mean, I just go down the list here. If I had a hammer, I still do for audiences. I still do some Bob Dylan once in a while. I still do Leaving on a Jet Plane once in a while. These are all songs kind of right out of my personal history, you know, so.
Are you especially excited about a particular piece on Saturday night's concert?
Well, I'd probably pick a few. There's songs that I've always wanted to do. One is second song in the program, I Dig Rock and Roll Music, which is a Peter, Paul, and Mary song. And I never knew that it was written, well, it was a co-write, but that one of them was actually a writer on that. I never knew who wrote it. I've always wanted to learn that song. If I Had a Hammer, as I said, I still do that song. It's fun for me to do Bob Dylan, because I kind of came to being a Bob Dylan fan maybe a little bit later in life. Mm. And really appreciate him a lot, so it's fun to do his material. The Times They Are Changing, because I loved that song as a kid. And I actually think it was one of the first songs that I learned when I was learning how to play guitar. And, you know, so many of his songs are, they're still so current. I mean, from when he wrote them, whatever, 50, 60 years ago. You know, they're still so current today. And
right.
That's just, I just think that's great. Mm. And, I mean, can we talk about, we're not ruining any surprises, right? Can we talk about material?
No.
I also get a chance to solo on Bridge Over Troubled Water, which is, you know, can be a little bit of a challenge, but it's also a really fun song to sing and just a beautiful song to sing. So, you know, those are just some, they're all great, don't get me wrong. And it was fun to do songs I'd never done before, too.
Mm. I didn't know there were any songs that Mark Paffrath had sung before.
Yeah, right, believe it or not. So, anyway, that's sort of some highlights for me.
So, just how long a list is it of the instruments that you play? And when it comes time to perform a given piece, what draws you to use this instrument versus that instrument?
Well, I'll tell you something that's really nice with this show is that, you know, I play several different instruments, but I'm only playing guitar for this show. And it's great to just be able to, you know, grab my guitar and head out the door. You know, I don't have to worry about trundling a lot of other stuff with me. So, but that's fun, too, because that was, I mean, that was one of the main accompanying instruments of this whole age, you know, like the whole thing about my mom, I got to get a guitar, you know, I got to learn how to play guitar to do folk music. So that's kind of neat, too. I've been enjoying that whole aspect of it.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I want our listeners to hear a little bit of Mark Paffrath's singing and playing, and what I pulled out was a song called Going, Going, Gone, and it's from one of the open mics that you host, and you seem to have a really great gift for doing that, for making everybody feel welcome. Do you want to say anything about this particular song?
This is a song that was done by, well, it was the most popular version, I think, was by Kathy Mattea. And it's terrible. I can't remember the writer. Do you know the writer, Zach?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, sorry about that. But it's just a song I always liked. It was just a well-written song and fun to do. I haven't done it for a while, so it's a reminder to get it back out.
There you go. So here it is, Going, Going, Gone with Mark Paffrath.
There's a lighthouse in the harbor, giving guidance with its light. I had no one to return to as I traveled through the night. From the first time that I saw you, standing silent by the shore, I knew the search was over. I would look for love no more. Deep in the waters of love, I am falling, sinking like a stone. Can hear love calling, going once, going twice, going gone, going once, going twice, going gone.
The inimitable voice of Mark Paffrath in the song Going Gone. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to the Wednesday Morning Show on WGTD, and we have a studio full of talented folks, Mark Paffrath, Maritha Paffrath, and Zachary Scott Johnson, along with Jim Schatzman and Pat Badger. We are talking about Saturday night's concert by the Choral Arts Society, a concert called Simply Folk, and it will feature not only the good folks of the Choral Arts Society, but these three musicians as well, collaborating with them. Zachary Scott Johnson, of course, has deep roots to Racine, but now lives in the Twin Cities. And we have talked on the morning show on several occasions about his Song a Day project, which now is past the 4,400 mark. That has to be just astonishing to you, because I know as you began this, you had no specific aspirations that this should go on forever and ever, And here you are, and it looks like you're having as much fun as you did at the outset.
That's true. I love doing it. I feel like there's probably way too much content of me on the internet some days. But yeah, that it is a lot of songs, for sure.
Remind us of that wonderful process by which you go sort of culling through different possibilities in order to share yet another song with the world.
Well, the thing that I like doing right now is going through some of my favorite records, and I'll take an artist. I mean, we're talking about Bob Dylan, so I'll just stick with Bob Dylan. I've done, I think, his first 8 records in their entirety, and it makes it easier in my brain to know, okay, I'm going to be doing this one record for the next 2 weeks, and so then I don't have to get up every day for the next 2 weeks and go, what am I going to do today? The thing that backs me into a corner, not so much with Dylan, but like with Joni's music, is, oh, well then, you know, maybe I know the first 3 songs, but I might not know that 7th song, and I have to learn that 7th song or whatever. But I kind of like that feeling, too, of, you know, forcing myself to learn something new. It's a way of kind of painting myself into a corner, so to speak.
Yeah, there you go. When did you start that? I mean, what year?
September of 2012.
Right. I think one of the remarkable things about it is that was a project you could so easily sustain through the nasty spell of the COVID-19 pandemic, while so many of us who treasured our opportunities as performers kind of found ourselves largely stuck and having to reinvent ourselves. And of course, you experienced that too in terms of your live performances. But the Song a Day project could just sail right along.
I sometimes wish in that era that I had recorded 2 or 3 a day to give myself a little lead, because I had so much time. We all had a lot more time then, but I wasn't thinking of that then.
Right. And of course, part of what makes that that Song a Day project so fun is that although you are a part of every single one of them, in many, many cases, you are collaborating on multiple occasions with Mark, for instance, and with other folks, with other musicians. Some of them pretty darn famous, and that has to be thrilling too.
That is the thing that means the most to me. I mean, looking at this list, Tom Paxton was a guest. The guys from Peter, Paul, and Mary have both been guests on here. One of the songs that we're doing, Day Is Done, I think, you know, when we were talking about what songs to choose, I remember very specifically saying, you know, Dylan, there was a list of Dylan, there was a list of Paul Simon. I said, I'm fine with any of those. But that one, I said, well, that's the one that I sang with Peter Yarrow, so that would be my choice, is to do that. And I also had strong opinions on Joni, just because Joni is the reason that I am a singer-songwriter.
So. Joni Mitchell.
Joni Mitchell, yeah. I think if it weren't for Joni Mitchell, I would probably be working in an office, a burned-out actor or something, but not doing what I do.
Right. Well, thank you, Joni Mitchell, for helping Zach Scott Johnson find his path. So I pulled from one of your most recent Song a Day episodes something that you are doing, and it's, of course, no accident that you are paying tribute to Kris Kristofferson. Just say a quick word about that, and then we're going to hear this song.
Yeah, I think for Kris Kristofferson, well, he just passed away, and so it inspired me to do this record of his, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary. Now, it's not one of his better-known records. It's actually kind of the first one that wasn't very successful for him.
Spooky Lady Sideshow.
We all remember that one. And no, it's a unique album in a lot of ways. And but I've also recorded his first 4 records as well while he was alive. And it was just a hard hit. We've been losing a lot of really great songwriters over the last few years. But we knew it was kind of coming with Kris Kristofferson, but still it was very sad.
So here is Zachary Scott Johnson off of his Song A Day project, and one of the most recent with this song by Kris Kristofferson called Smile At Me.
Hey everybody, this is Zachary Scott Johnson, the Song A Day Project, where I try to record a song a day every day for as long as I can keep doing it. You can support the Song A Day Project at patreon.com/thesongadayproject. I'll put a link in the description below the video as well. I'm continuing to make my way through Kris Kristofferson's wonderful fifth solo record, which is called Spooky Lady Sideshow. It was released 50 years ago in 1974. I'm trying to sing my way through all of the songs on that great record. I did the same with his first four records and his first collaborative record with Rita Coolidge as well. This is a penultimate song. It's called Smile At Me. Monday called me early, coming down by surprise, waiting for a signal light to change. There's something bitter that was burning my eyes, thinking I'd go drink myself back home on. Shot down the same fast room, Sunset Street, holding on to something in my head. Everything gets heavy when you're in the grip. Nothing looks as empty as a motel. Break my connections when I shake me loose. Give my equipment to the band. Let my friend the devil pay the rest of my dues. Take me home till something's gonna smile at me.
That was Zachary Scott Johnson, and if you were watching this on YouTube, you'd know from the visuals that Zachary Scott Johnson was doing all of that music making, the singing, the guitar playing, the piano playing, and who knows what else was into the mix of that. And
band drumming.
Band drumming. Very good. So Zachary Scott Johnson and Mark Paffrath and Maritha Paffrath are all collaborating this Saturday night with the Choral Arts Society in a concert called Simply Folk that kicks off the group's 38th season. Jim Schatzman, talk for a moment about the opportunity for the Choral Arts Society to be engaging in something like this, to not be singing Johannes Brahms or John Rutter or Bach or whatever. And of course, this is by no means the first time that this has happened, but talk for a moment about this kind of musical and artistic exploration that you obviously think is important for probably a lot of different reasons.
I do, and maybe some of them are a little selfish. It's just amazing to be, and I'm just feeling real emotional right now. It's just amazing to be with artists of this caliber and to have them kind of feed my soul with what they do And I know many members of the chorus feel the same way. It's just, it's a real experience. I mean, choral music is, and vocal music in general is so such a personal art. It's actually been called the first art. You know, I mean, we, you know, speaking of women, they were singing to infants, you know, for millennia. I mean, this was happening before any there was such a thing as a singer-songwriter. And so, you know, this deep expression is highly emotional, but it's also highly personal. And when you bring, you know, 60 people together to do something personal, there, and you know this from your own conducting and composing and writing career, there's something almost magical about using our voices to join together. It can be whether you think about it, political or cultural, the harmony of bringing people together, just the word harmony and its multiple meanings of how things come together to create something, really something that you can't do on your own. It's remarkable. And it is a spiritual experience to be able to share at this level. And the lyrics of these specific songs really worked to bring people together. That was a tough time, as Mark said. There's a lot of correlation to what was going on in the 60s and what's going on now.
Oh, yeah.
We are in a cultural transition maybe political transition. It's a very transitional time. Feels real unstable. And so singing Times They Are A-Changin' or Blown in the Wind or
Bridge over Troubled Water.
Yeah, oh, my God. That arrangement in particular, you asked everybody what their favorite song was. That's always been a song that I've really connected to. It's a song that you arranged for us to do. It's epic. It's absolutely epic. And, I'm reminded, Margaret Hawkins always used to say to her choirs, don't lush out, stay connected, make sure you're performing. But it's very hard for me to stand up there and hear that song and not just want to go sit in the audience and just soak it in.
Right.
It's really remarkable.
Right.
And so this music is going to touch people in a highly personal way. For those of us who grew up with this music, and I hope if you're listening out there that you won't miss this program, if you haven't listened to this music in a while, you're going to realize that this caught you at a very important time in your life and spoke to you in a way that is profound and deep, and that stayed with you. And this will resurrect some of those thoughts, and maybe even in this time of transition, maybe even offer a little comfort or a little activism or wherever you are, it's going to activate something.
A little discomfort.
Your arrangement of Blowing in the Wind, as I had to do that again. It was just so lovely, and it really speaks to the choir. The first time they sang it, you could see their eyes lighting up. It's like, oh, yeah, this hits something very deep. And so I'm hoping that this experience will not only be something personal for me and something a little self-indulgent, but we'll be able to share that wonderful feeling and that powerful, powerful emotional connection to this music and these lyrics and these absolutely fabulous musicians. This is such a treat. I could never have dreamed when I was a kid that this would be what I'm doing at this time in my life.
Very good. Pat Badger, just say a quick word about this beautiful space in which this concert is going to take place. It's a space that I know means a lot to you.
The concert takes place in the sanctuary of First Presbyterian Church, which is in itself an incredibly beautiful and historic building in our community. First Presbyterian Church existed before Wisconsin was a state. And it's likely that it was an underground railroad hiding place. And sometimes when I'm in that sanctuary, which is, I think, the best acoustically place for performance in Racine, sometimes when I'm in that sanctuary and I'm standing on the floor, I'm thinking, in the 1840s, right below where my feet are, there were people hiding for their lives. That's just a powerful, powerful thing. And to create art in that space, to give sound life in that room.
Yeah. And a sense of sanctuary in more ways than one.
Indeed.
Boy, Pat, even doing these lyrics in that space with that connection brings 1840 right to 1960.
Yeah.
And to the transition we're looking at. It's stunning. When you were speaking about that, I couldn't help thinking about that.
I feel like what everyone has said, that there's this incredible confluence. I mean, for the three of us, there's a homecoming with each other. And I also want to add that our band would not be complete without the amazing, fantastic, upright bass playing of Gordy Smith. I mean, what 60s group could be complete without without a bass? But I feel like the confluence of everything that people have said, the history, the spirit, the activism, and it feels like just this incredible spiral of music bringing people together and giving hope and hopefully moving everyone forward. I can't imagine anyone would come to the concert on Saturday night, October 19th, and not feel a sense of hope and forward movement, and that's what music can do.
And there's something, there's a secret about this concert that people coming to it don't know. And the secret is that the people that come are actually part of the concert. They are part of the hope, because their voices are going to fill the room too, because we commissioned a special piece by Carthage's Margaret Burke, and the premiere will be on Saturday night, in which the audience will actually sing. They are a big part of that piece.
The title, Happy Are Those Who Sing With All Their Heart, and that says a whole lot right there. So, and in so many ways encapsulates what this evening is going to be all about. I know lots of people are looking forward to it. If people want to attend, what do they do?
If they want to attend, they can go to the Choral Arts website, and there's a big button on the top. You just click that button and order your tickets. It's so easy.
You can also
come to the door. Suddenly you just have to hear If I Had a Hammer on Saturday night. Just come on down to downtown Racine. Look for the big, beautiful church, and operators will be standing by to sell tickets.
All right. So this, again, is Saturday evening at 7 o'clock. And my thanks to everyone in this room who has been part of this wonderful conversation. Jim Schatzman, Pat Badger, Mark Paffrath, Maritha Paffrath, and Zachary Scott Johnson. And this particular recording is of Zach Scott Johnson and Mark Paffrath and the Choral Arts Society doing a song that Zachary likes just a little bit, called I'm Gonna Live Forever. A bit of that will finish out today's morning show. Thanks again for being here for a wonderful hour.
Thanks for having us.
We remind you once again of the Choral Arts Society's concert this Saturday evening at 7 o'clock at First Presbyterian Church in downtown Racine, 716 College Avenue, a concert titled Simply Folk, to launch their 38th season. It's exactly 8:59. Tomorrow on the morning show, we will preview for you UW Parkside's production of Carrie, the musical, and we'll be talking about this weekend's concert of the Kenosha Symphony Orchestra. And on Friday, in honor of Rafael Nadal, who recently announced his retirement from tennis. I'm replaying my conversation with sports writer L. John Wertheim and his marvelous book called Strokes of Genius, which talked about the epic Wimbledon 2008 men's singles final between Nadal and Federer, a battle which Nadal won in thrilling fashion. That's Friday on The Morning Show. Today's going to be sunny and cool with a high of 56 degrees and clear and cold overnight with widespread frost at certain locales down to 31 for an overnight low. Sunny tomorrow, warming up to a high of 63, warmer still over the weekend. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.